that point for the sons.
Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Samach on the Beis, the last words. Tanya v'chein hay Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer. We had learned in the previous shiur, the last gemara we had learned was a machloikis, the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon ben Yochai, if a kohen is allowed to marry geyoris. The Chum said that a kohen may never marry geyoris, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai drew a distinction. If she's less than 3 years old, that he may. If she's above 3 years old, he may not. So Al Gemara begins a seemingly unrelated sugya. Al Gemara begins to discuss Kivrei Oiv Dekachavim. What is the status of Tuma of Kivrei Oiv Dekachavim? And all the Mefarshim try to understand what is the connection between the two sugyas. So one pshat is, as we're going to see, yesterday we worked extensively with the Mechama, with Midyan, when Pinchas was a member of that Muhammad, to prove what is the status of the Geyiris. And Al-Gemar is also going to use that, those Psukim, to prove what is the status of Kiryat Kachavim. That's the connection. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Gemara we ended the shiur yesterday, said that we can allow a kohen to marry a Geyiris who's less than 3 years old. But the Gemara says we don't follow Rav Shimon ben Yochai's position. Here too, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is going to allow us to become Tamei to Kivrei Akum, a Kohen to become Tamei to Kivrei Akum. But again, we don't follow Rav Shimon ben Yochai's position. So that's why the Gemara's are connected. Says the Gemara, "Ken Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Kivrei Oid Kachavim, Enim Etam Ba'Oil." The Kivrei of Akum, we notice Tumas Oil, that if one is in the same house, or one bends over a kever of a Jew, he becomes Tamei. That doesn't apply by Akum. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, V'aten Tsoini Tsoi Marisi, Adam Atem. And the Gemara says, Atem Kriyim Adam, Klai Yisrael called Adam, then Oiv D'Kachavim Kriy Adam, not the Akum. And since the Parsha of Tumas Oil begins with the words Adam Ki Yomus Ba'Oil, so only people who are considered Adam are relevant to the parasha of Tumas Oil. And as we know, this line of the Gemara has been a very, very difficult line for thousands of years, how the Gemara calls us Atam Kriyam Adam, Vein Akam Kriyam Adam. So I saw a number of pshatim to help us try to understand it. One pshat is a simple pshat that the Meritz Chayis says. The Meritz Chayis says that every profession has its rule book. There's a rule book for policemen, there's a rule book for firemen. If somebody who's not a fireman looks at a rule book, it has no relevance to him. What the Gemara is saying is that the Torah is the rule book for Klal Yisrael. Atam Kriyim Adam. It speaks to us because it's our rule book. Vein Atam Kriyim Adam. The Torah isn't speaking to non-Jews. It's not the rule book for non-Jews. Another pshat that I saw, a little deeper, is a person is called an Adam. Why is a person called an Adam? There are many pshatim. But one pshat, this is based on what the Arizal, the Chassam Sofer say, it's based on the Pasuk, Edma le'Elyon. Adam is from the word Edma, similar. We are similar, a person is similar le'Elyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In what way is a person similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely Ruchnius. So too is the person of Klal Yisrael. What makes Klal Yisrael different? That not only are we ruchnius, we understand that we have to learn, we have to daven, but even with our gashmius, with our guf, we do mitzvahs. Every part of our life is permeated with mitzvahs. That's the edna le'elyoin. That's how we're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't apply by Akum. They have ruchnius, but they don't have that. This concept that their gashmius is also here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Tumah all about? Tumah is all about that the person passes away, the neshama goes up to Shemayim, and the guf is left without the neshama. So someone whose guf wasn't a vehicle for avodas Hashem, there's no reason for tumah. It just goes into the ground. Someone whose guf was a vehicle for avodas Hashem, so that's why tumah comes to that guf when the neshama leaves it. That's why only by Klal Yisrael is there a concept of tumah. And the Chassam Sofer says this is the basis for halacha. The halacha is that we know that after a Jew passes away, we're not allowed to do an autopsy. We have to have kavod ames. Why? Because the guf was a vehicle for avodas Hashem, so we have to treat it with respect. That doesn't apply to the corpse of an Akum, because it wasn't, his guf wasn't a vehicle for Avodas Hashem, and therefore it doesn't require that it be used, that it not be desecrated. One more pshat, but this is a fascinating pshat. We're familiar with the famous trial of Mendel Bayless, the soldier in the early 1900s in Stalin in Russia, who was accused of killing a non-Jew for his blood for Pesach. And at that time, Rav Maza was the chief rabbi of Moscow. And he was helping prepare the defense of this Mendel Bayless. And he was very close with the Chartkever Rebbe. And he asked the Chartkever Rebbe if he could perhaps give him some advice how to prepare the defense. So the Chartkever Rebbe said, I have a chassid, Ramey Shapiro. He wasn't Lubina Rav then, he was a young man. He perhaps could give you some advice. And he used this Gemara for the advice. He quotes an Oilus Ephraim, and actually the Meshech Chachma says the same word. There are four words in Hebrew that speak to a person, that how a person is called. There's Adam, there's Ish, there's Gever, and there's Enosh. Three of those words can be put into the plural. Anoshim, Givarim, Ishim. The word Adam doesn't have a plural. Why? Because he says that's what this Gemara is conveying. We can have people who are Gvarim, many men. They're all men, but they each come with their own concept, with their own philosophy, with their own action. Klal Yisrael is an Adam. You can't say Adamim. We're all one. And he said this trial is the proof that Klal Yisrael is all one. Why? Because Mendel Bayless was one individual on trial. But people who are familiar with the history, it was really a trial of all of the Jewish people. On the other hand, he was one individual. And all of Klal Yisrael at that time came together to help defend him. So he says, the fact that you are trying to use, because the prosecutors tried to use this Gemara, that he killed a guy because Atem Krim Adam, then Atem Krim Adam, and there's no problem to kill a non-Jew. So he said, that's not what the Gemara means. But the Gemara means what's happening here, that all of Klal Yisrael are on trial and rally together, Adam, because we're all together, then Akum, but that beautiful unity doesn't exist by the Akum. Nesvei asked the Gemara, the Pasuk by Midyan, says, V'nefesh Adam Shisha Esa Elef. So there it speaks about the people who were killed, and they were Midyanim. So we see that they're called Adam. Answers the Gemara Mishun Behema. Because of the animals, they're called Adam. Because in comparison to animals, they're considered Adam. Ashiyeshba Haba Mishtem Esa Ruba, the Pasuk in Yoina, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yoina there are more than 12,000 people. Adam, Ashla Yoda Ben Yamina Ilismaila. Again, we see the people in Nineveh weren't Jewish and they're called Adam. Again, answered the Gemara, Mishum Behema. Ask Tosfos that our Gemara is saying that Adam refers only to a Jew. So he says there's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Ashiyas Oysa Ma'adam B'chai Behem. And the Gemara says, Amra Meya, Akum Ha'oysik B'Taira. If an Akum runs Taira, Harei Kud Kain Gadol. He's greater than the Kain Gadol. Shenem Ashiyas Oysa Ma'adam. So we see that Ha'adam does refer to an Akum. So Rashi says, based on this, that Ramey is arguing with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that Adam does not refer to Akum. Ramey is disagreeing. Others explain that when the Pasuk is speaking about a bracha, so there obviously Adam is not limited to Yisrael. Because if the Pasuk was speaking to Yisrael, it should have said Yisrael. On the other hand, when it's not speaking to a bracha, Adam refers only to Klal Yisrael. But Tosfos draws a distinction between the word Adam and the word Ha-Adam. The word Adam refers specifically to Klal Yisrael. Ha-Adam refers even to Akum. What's Pshat? So again, we find some cipher saying Pshat. Ha-Adam refers to a person. Akum are people. Adam refers to the essence of the person. That's only Klal Yisrael. And the Farshim say that's Pshat, and those of us who say Kabbonis, what we say every morning. On Meister Ha-Adam and Abahema, Oyin Ki Kol Havo, Lefichach Anachnu Amcha Bnei Brisecha. On Meister Ha-Adam, Adam we say refers even to Akum. Meister Ha-Adam and Abahema, if you compare an Akum to Behema, Oyin, it's not very significant. Lefichach Anachnu Amcha Bnei Brisecha, but we Klal Yisrael, we're different, we're special. So ask the Gemara, The pasuk says, "Kol harig nefesh v'kol negei b'chol tischato." When Klai Yisrael went to Mechama with Midian, it says that everybody had to become tahor because perhaps they came in contact with a corpse. But if Rav Shimon ben Yochai is correct that Akum is not metamei, so why did they have to become tahor? Answers the Gemara, "Dim ikdochad Yisrael," not because of the Akum, because there might have been a Jew that got killed, and Jews are certainly metamei. Rabbanon who disagree with Shimon ben Yochai, say we can't use that as a proof, because the pasuk says there clearly, no Jew died in that battle, yet there was a requirement that they should be matar themselves. Obviously, Akam Amatame. Rav Shimon, how will he define the pasuk of Lenifkaman Ish? Rav Shimon Yochai Lenifkaman Ish doesn't mean that nobody died, it means Lenifkaman Ish Laveira, nobody did an Aveira. But perhaps Jews did die. Ravina Amar has another way of explaining that pasuk, that it should be able to be consistent with Rav Shimon Yochai's position. Ned Matina Kroyman Tumba Oil. When the Torah says that Akam Anamitame, Tumas Oil doesn't reply to Akam. The Ksiv, as we said at the beginning of the year, the pasuk that speaks about Tumas Oil says Adam Kiyomus Oil, only in Adam. However, Mimaga Mimasa, touching a corpse, Mimatina Kroy, certainly even Akam, so when the pasuk says there that they required to be matan themselves, was because they came with tumas oil to Akum. Rav Shimon ben Yochai will say that Akum are not matan oil. They actually touched Akum. That certainly Rav Shimon ben Yochai will agree gives off tumah. In fact, the Michas Chinuch has an interesting shaila that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who holds that an Akum is matan b'magav b'masa, what will be the halach if you touch the kever of an Akum? Will it be like you touch the actual guf and it'll be tamei, or it'll be like you touch, like you tumas oil, and Rav Shimon Yochai holds there is no tumas oil. Michas Chinuch says that it will be considered like you actually touch the corpse. Taisus says, and that's the Alach Lamais, the Shulchan Aruch quotes two shittas regarding touching kivrei akum if they're metama. The two shittas, most people are machmer to hold the kivrei akum of metama and don't allow kahanim to go even to cemeteries of akum. Says the Mishnah, Ira says almona. As we've been learning, a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almona. He did erusin with almona when he was a kohen hedjit. V'nisman ali is kohen gadol, and then he's appointed to be kohen gadol. Yichnais, since he did the erusin when he was still a kohen hedjit, he may consummate and do the nesuin when he's a kohen gadol. And says the Mishnah, Maisa b'yishub ben gamla, shekidish es masas bas maisa, he did erusin with masas bas maisas, umnu amelech li is kohen gadol, she was an almona, and the king appointed him to be kohen gadol, the kansa, and he did nesuin with her, since the erusin were done when he was still a kohen hedjit. Says the Mishnah, shemeres yavam shenafel a kohen hedjit, if a shemeres yavam forced a kohen hedjit, the nisman ali is kohen gadol, and then he's appointed to be kohen gadol, apish asba mamer, even though he did mimer before he was appointed to be the kohen gadol, harezer lo yichnas, he's still not allowed to do nesuin, because there is no heter. The heter that we have by amana does not apply by shemeres yavam, and the Gemara will explain it in a moment. Tana rabbanan. So the Gemara begins, b'nai she'im eretz amana. How do we know that if a kohen gadol did erusin with amana, and then when the sman ali is kohen gadol, and then he's appointed to be kohen gadol, she yichnas, he's allowed to complete and do the nesuin, tamalai me yikach isha. The pasuk says, ki im besula me amav yikach isha, as we learned on Daf Nun Tes. The question is, why did the pasuk have to say, ki im besula me amav yikach isha? It should have said, ki im besula me amav yikach. It comes to teach us that even if he did erusin when she's an almana, and he became kohen gadol, he could still do nesuin with her. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi Shmeres Yavim Nami. So say the same thing by Allah Shmeres Yavim. If she became his Yavama, and then he's appointed to kohen gadol, he should be allowed to take her in Yibam. Says the Gemara, Isha Vala Yavama. Only by an Almana does this halacha apply, not by Yavama. And Ritva explains this Gemara very beautifully. Because if we recall, the Gemara Daf Nun Tes said a different reason. Because the pasuk says Isha, a lashon yachid, to teach us we could only learn one halacha from this pasuk, not two halachas. So ask the Ritva, why did the Gemara just repeat what we learned in Daf Nun Tes? That we only could take her, that he can't take her, because the pasuk is only referring to one situation, the situation of Amona. That's why the Gemara said, if we recall in Daf Nun Tes, that if he did erusin with her when she was a Nara, and then before the Nesuin she became a Begeris, he could not take her. So why doesn't the Gemara use the same logic? Says the Ritva, the difference between a girl who's a Nara and then becomes a Begeris versus a person who is an Almana and then he becomes a Kohen Gadol is very obvious. But Almana Shemeres Yavam is really one and the same. They're both widows. So the Gemara's Lomdus that it used a Nafnun test, it can't be used here because that would say Ish and Almana. Almana and Shemeres Yavam are really all one and the same. That's why the Gemara had to use a different concept that the Pasuk means Isha, Dafka by Almana, V'lo Yavama. Says the Gemara, Maisa B'Yeshua. So the Gemara focuses on the words of the Mishnah. Minua HaMelech, the king appointed him. Nisman Eloi, but not that he was appointed in the normal fashion where all the Kahanim would get together and appoint somebody as Kohen. Amrav Yosef, Kata Kachazina Hacha. There was a deal here. Amrav Asi, Takav the Dinari, three Kavim, Tarkvim Mefarshim explains three kavim the dinra. Ilei Masa Baspisis. Masa Baspisis was a wealthy widow, and she wanted her husband Yeshua ben Gamla to get this position of kayin gadol. So she paid for it. She gave it to Yana Malka. Ad the mukla Yeshua ben Gamla b'kahani ravravi until she a king for this pay made him the kayin gadol. And the Mefarshim speak about this gemara, the fascinating shuva from Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer says that going back hundreds of years to the time of the Mashal and the Mashah and the Sma, there was a letter written that a Rabbonis should never be given for pay, and they strongly deplore such act. Apparently it was very common. Then in the time of the Avni Nezer, he quotes this tshuva. There was a letter written, signed by 300 Rabbonim, again, to this issue that Rabbonis should not be given to somebody who pays. And we have signed in that letter Avni Nezer and Dimri Emes and Alexandria Rebbe Kol Gedol Yisrael from Poland. But he asks a question. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that Yeshua ben Gamla was a very special person. Baram Zohar Oysa Ish L'Toiv. The Yeshua ben Gamla Shmai, he was the first person that established day schools in Klal Yisrael. So here we seem to be saying that Yeshua ben Gamla only got the position because he was kind, because his wife paid for it. And there the Gemara says he was a very great person. So I saw a number of terutzim. The Bach says, interestingly, as great as he was, it's unacceptable that he got the position because he paid for it. Others say that he was very great, but there were even greater people than him. Another pshat that I saw is, when did he become great? Only after he got the position. He grew into the position, but when he got the position, he wasn't of such a high madrega, and he only got it because his wife paid for it. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Shemes, Achiv, if a Kohen Gadol's brother passed away, the halacha is Chalitz v'lo Miyabim. Chalitza not Yibim, because the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibim because his wife, his sister-in-law is a widow. Ask the Tosfos. It's obvious that he can't do Yibim. From the previous Mishnah, we learned that if she was a Shemeres Yavam when he was a Kohen Hedyot, he can't do Yibim. Certainly, if he's a Kohen Gadol when his brother dies, he can't do Yibim. Answers Tosfos. What is the Mishnah teaching us here? That one would think that a Kohen Gadol should not do Chalitza either. Because as we learned and we'll learn, part of the Chalitza process is that the widow spits at him. So it's very inappropriate, very disrespectful that the Kohen Gadol should be spat at. Says the Mishnah, we could still do Chalitza. Kivega says a different teretz. Kivega says we learned many times in the Masechta, Kol she'ena oil le'yibim, ena oil le'chalitza. Yibim and chalitza travel together. So we would think, since the Kohen Gadol can't do yibim, he can't do chalitza either, teaches us the Mishnah, this is an exception to the rule, that even though he can't do yibim, he can't do chalitza. Says the Gemara, Kapasuk v'tani, the Mishnah said a rule, Loishnam and Erison, Veloishnam and Asun. It makes no difference if his brother was married to this woman, only Erison, or if they even had Nasun. Says the Gemara, Bishlam and Nasun, I could understand why if they were married with a Nasun, the Kohen Gadol can't do Yibim, because Esse Veloish Asehu, the Kohen has a mitzvah Asseh and a mitzvah Lois Asseh, preventing him from doing Yibim. The mitzvah Asseh is Ki im Besulam Amov, Yikach Isha. The mitzvah loisa say is a man of a grusha. He's not a married loisikach. He's not a married amana. Then essay the mitzvah say of yibum does not have the ability to be doicha loisa say vasei to supersede the loisa say vasei. However, ask the Gemara elman erison if all this widow had was erison, so she's still a psula. So yave essay let the essay of yibum come v'yitches loisa say be doicha the loisa say of the fact that she's almana. answers the Gemara, Gzeiah be Rishonah to be a Shniya. And this is the way the Ritva explains the Gemara, again, very beautifully. He says, certainly the first Bia of the kind Godel, if she's an Almanah from Erison, should be Mutter. Esedai Chalaisa say. But the second Bia, we don't have Esedai Chalaisa say. So Chazals made Gzeiah, don't even allow the first Bia because of the second Bia. So asked Ritva, so every time, why do we say this? Every time when a person has a woman falling to him as a Yavama, she's his sister-in-law. So he shouldn't allow the first Bia because of the second Bia. Answered the Ritva. And we've been saying this lum this many times. When a brother dies without children, it's not pshat that she's his Eishas Ach and the Torah allows Bia. The whole erva of Eishas Ach falls away. The Torah doesn't consider her an Eishas Ach. So therefore there's no difference between the first Bia, the second Bia, the third Bia. However, here, it's not that she's not an Almana. We're just saying, Esei Dachalaisa say, to allow the first Bia. But she remains an Almana, and that's why there's room to make a Gzeira Bia Rishayna to be a Shniya. Says the Mishnah, Kain Hedjit La Yisa Ailness, a Kain Hedjit's not allowed to marry a woman who's unable to have children. We'll learn and will learn what are the Simana for that. Elm Ken Yesh La Isha Banim, unless he already has a wife and children. Even if he already has a wife and children, La Yisa Ailness, a Kain Hedjit may not marry an Ailness, she's Zoyna. She is the Zoyna that the Torah says a Kain may not marry. She's Zoyna HaMur B'Torah. V'Cham Aymrim, Ein Zoyna, who is a Zoyna El Giyoris, U'Meshuchreres, V'Shenivla B'Uznos. A Giyoris, a Meshuchreres, and a woman that had an improper relationship. Machloikus Rashi and Taisvis, what does B'Uznos mean? Rashi says any relationship that's usr, even a chai v'lavin, Taisus disagrees and says it has to be an isr chai v'krisis to be considered a bilaznus. Ask the Gemara. Amlai resh galusa l'rav Huna. My tama, why is a kain hedyet not supposed to marry a woman that can't have children? Mishum peri rivya, we're supposed to have children, and marrying such a woman is a problem. Ask the Gemara, a pervarivya, kahanim hu de mifkadi, only kahanim supposed to have children, v'yisrael by mifkadi, not Yisrael. So why does our Mishnah speak only to kahanim? Answers the Gemara, amalei mishum de kabayil misni seifa. Since the Mishnah continues in teaching us, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, avi sheyesh le'isha, v'yesh le'bonim, lo yisa ailness. Even if he has a wife and children, he may not marry an ailness. She's Zayna Amur B'Tayr because she's the Zayna that Tayr refers to. That's Zayna, and when we refer to the Issa Zayna, Kahanim Huda Mifkadi, only Kahanim may not marry a Zayna. However, Yisrael La Mifkadi, there's no din that Yisrael may not marry a Zayna. Shemhachi, that's why the beginning of the Mishnah also, K'tani Kayin only speaks to a Kayin. Amrav Huna, my Tam Rabbi Huda, why does Rabbi Huda consider a woman who's unable to have children a Zayna? The Ksiv, Ichlu V'Layizbo, the Pasuk says they'll eat and won't be satiated. Hiznu V'Layifraitzu, they'll have relations but not be able to have children. Teaches us of Yehuda, Kol Biyish Ein Bapirtza, any relation that can't produce children, and El Bilaznus, it's considered Bilaznus. Ask Taisvis, if so, in those days this was very common, how could one marry Ketana? A Ketana can't have children either. Answers Taisvis, that maybe the Ketana can't have children now, but ultimately she'll be able to have children. This islandess will never be able to have children. Ask to Aruch Lener, and actually to Yerushalmi, and what about why would one be allowed to marry a Zakena, a woman who can't have children anymore, she's too old, or an Akara, she's not an islandess, but we know she can't have children, based on this Gemara. So there are Mepharshim, interestingly enough, that want to suggest, certainly a person should not marry those women, a Kohen should not be allowed to marry such a woman. The Aruch Lener says that a Zakena, maybe right now she no longer could have children, but she once was able to have children. An Akara is not physically totally impossible for her to have children. The Pasuk only speaks to an islandess. All other people are not excluded. Tanya. Rabbi Leza Oimer, Kohen Layisin Saktana. A Kohen may not marry a Ketana. Amrei Rav Chisda Rava. So Rav Chisda told Rava, Puk Ayimba. We just learned a statement from Rabbi Leza. I want you to spend time trying to understand the statement. The author tonight is in Yeshiva. Rav Huna is going to ask you to explain Rav Elazar's statement. Mafak Ayimba. So he went and tried to understand what Rav Elazar said. So he came back and said, Rav Elazar Savala Kremeya, the Savala Kreb Yehuda. Rabbi Lezer's statement is based on a combination of the opinions of Rameya and Rabbi Huda. Savalak Rameya, he agrees Rameya, the Chayish Lamiuta. Throughout Shas, and as we'll see examples in a moment, Rameya is the one that is even concerned for a minority situation. On the other hand, the Savalak Rabbi Huda, he also agrees with Rabbi Huda, Dom Island is Zoyna Hafa. That an islandess, a woman who's unable to have children, is considered a Zoyna. Ask the Gemara, so therefore, we could understand this statement. Katan Layisin Saktana, because we're concerned for the miut of women that will turn out to be islandess, and since he's a Kohen is now on a marry, as Rabbi Huda taught us, an islandess. That's how Rabbi explained Rabbi Lezer's statement. Ask the Gemara, Ukremeya Misavala, can we then say that Rabbi Lezer agrees with Rameya? For Tanya, there's a brayse that says, Katan v'ktana v'lo chaltzin v'lo yabmin. A katan and a ktana are not candidates, not for chalitza, nor for yibam. Divrei Rameya. This is Rameya's position. Amlei Rameya. So they said to Rameya, Yofa Marta, we can understand what you said, she'en chaltzim, that they're not candidates for chalitza, where either the yavam or the yavama are ktana, chalitza is not doable, because the parasha of chalitza begins with the words ish ksiba parasha, so he has to be an adult, not a katan. Or makshinon ishal ish, and then the Torah says that the yavama has the same din as the yavam. And since the yavam has to be a gadol in order to be able to do chalitza, so too must the yavama be a gadol in order that she should be a candidate for chalitza. El maitame emi yabim. Why are they not candidates for yibam? Amle katan shem yim tzaris. The katan may be a saris, and as we learned, a saris doesn't do chalitza. Ktana shetim tzailness, and the girl may be an islandess. Vnim tzapoygim be'erva. And if she's an islandess, she's not a candidate for yibam. And so we see Rameya is choshish lemiyuta. It's worthwhile, it's always worthwhile to review. We learned the Taisus on that phase of a base. Taisus asks a wonderful question. He says, what's the concern? That this woman is an islandess, but if she's an islandess, then the husband's never considered married to her, because it's Kedushay Tos. So if so, Manushach, if she's not an islandess, she's a Yavama. If she's an islandess, she was never married to the brother, so he was never a sister-in-law. So why can't he marry her? So there are a number of answers given. One answer is, Taisha says, and this is Halach L'maisa, that a Kedushin, nowadays, when somebody makes a Kedushin, he takes his wife for better or for worse. Better for worse means that he accepts that she's an islandess, the Kedushin should be a Kedushin anyway. Another pshat is that we only discovered that she's an islandess after the brother died. And perhaps if the brother would have been alive, and we would have asked him, knowing that your wife is an islandess, would you stay with her? And we'd say, yeah, I want to stay with her no matter what. So then we see that the Kedushin would be a Kedushin. Another Teretz Taisus says, a Gaval de Gechap. What are we going to say? That this woman was an islandess, and she was therefore never considered married to the brother. So we should allow the brother who's alive to do Yibam Mamanvashach. But if she was an islandess, then she was not considered the brother's wife, and there may be other wives. Those wives have to have Yibam, because they were his wives. And he's going to think that by doing Yibam with the islandess, he exempts the tzaris. So that's why the islandess, this woman who's a ketana, should not be the candidate for Yibam. But continues the Gemara, that's Rameya's position. The Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, Ketana, a Ketana, if a husband died and left a widow who is a Ketana, Misya Benis, Vena Chaletzis, she is a candidate for Yibam, Divrei Rabbi Lezer. So here we have right away a question. Rabbi explained that Rabbi Lezer's opinion was based on his agreement with Rameya. Here we see Rabbi Lezer, that's Choshish Lemiyuta. Here we see Rameya, Rabbi Lezer doesn't agree with Rameya. Furthermore, we said that the second part of Rabbi Lezer's statement was based on his agreement with Rabbi Yehuda that an islandess is considered a zoyna. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda misavala, does Rabbi Lezer agree with Rabbi Yehuda? For Tanya, there's a braisa that expands on what we learned in the Mishnah. Who is considered a zoyna? Zoyna, zoyna kishma, did Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says a zoyna is that the word applies, a married woman who strays from a husband. Rabbi Kiva Oima, Zayna Zumafkaris. A woman, she's not married, but she has relations with men. And the Achraidim discuss at great length, how do we define Rabbi Kiva's position? Some say it has to be more than one man, and some say it has to be more than one time that she had relations, that she should have this title of Mufkeres. The Masi Mecharesh Amar, Afila Holich Baal Lashkaisa, Ubala Baderech Asa Zayna. We know that Allah is, that if a husband accuses his wife of having an adulterous relationship, and then she becomes a Saita, Kinu Istira, he is not allowed to have relations with her until she drinks the Meha Ma'orim. Let's say he has relations with her during that time, he did an Aveira. So even a woman who did this Aveira, and we think about this Aveira, it's not such a serious Aveira, the husband and wife, still she's already considered a Zayna. Rabbi Hudaimer, as we learned in the Mishnah, Zayna is an illness. Zayna is an illness. The Chamaimim, Ein Zayna, Ella, Giyoresum Shecheres, Vishnivla Bilaznus. A woman that had an unacceptable relationship. Ask the Mefarshim, what's the difference between Rabbi Lezer and Ramashi Mecharish? Ramashi Mecharish speaks about an unacceptable relationship, that's an Aveira, and Rabbi Lezer, and the Chachamim speak about an Aveira. So they say the difference is what we said before. According to the Chachamim, if a man had relationship with his wife who's a Saita, they're not going to consider her a Zayna. Because at the end of the day, they're husband and wife. Rabbi Masi Mecharish is even more Machmed HaChachamim, and he'll consider her a Zayna. Rabbi Lezer is the most stringent opinion. We've discussed Rabbi Lezer. He says, Pani Abba Pnuya, if a single man and a single woman have relations, Shloi L'Shem Ishus, also Zayna. But what we see here, that Rabbi Lezer doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So how can we say Rabbi Lezer's opinion is based on Rabbi Yehuda when we see clearly that Rabbi Lezer doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda? Ela Omer Rav Adber Hava. We're referring to a kain gadol, and when Rabbi Lezer said that a kain is not supposed to marry a tana, he meant a kain gadol. Ask the Gemara why? Because the aim is kakanala. If he does kedushin with a tana, the kedushin are not really effective because she's a tana. Aim is kakanala. When do the kedushin become effective? L'chi gadla, only when she becomes a gadoila. But at that point, b'ulahi, a kain gadla is not allowed to marry a woman who's not a basula. Amar Rava, says Rava, machle lev, Rashi says mavle lev. The statement that you made is impossible to understand. Because let's analyze the situation. Either kachavua, we know, as we've discussed many times, the Torah gave a father the right to marry off his daughter. So if this girl was a ketana, was married off by a father, may he shata who the kanala. Even though she's a ketana, she's the kohen gadol's full-fledged wife. Why? Because the Torah said that a father can marry off a daughter to be a full-fledged marriage. If, on the other hand, vida kacha nafsha, it wasn't a father who married her off. It was she herself, Rabbi Lezihi. Will this only be the opinion of Rabbi Lezer? V'loi bonan? Why would Rabbanan not agree? If she became married to him when she was a ketana, and she married herself off, so that kedushin is not recognized by the Torah as a valid kedushin. When does it become a kedushin? When she's a gdaila. Then she's certainly a b'ula. So why would it only be Rabbi Lezer saying this? Why would Rabbanan disagree? Ela merava l'arim b'kayin hejit. We're referring to kayin hejit. V'chishinin, so what's the concern that we don't allow kayin hejit to marry her? To marry ketana? Since she's a young girl, so she's very vulnerable, we're concerned that somebody may seduce her and she'll have an adulterous relationship. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, so then we shouldn't let a Yisrael marry her either. Yachi Yisrael Nami, answers the Gemara, Pitu Ketana Oinasu. When a Ketana is seduced, the Halacha views it as an Oinas. And as we've learned, for Oinas be Yisrael Mishrashara, a woman who was violated, a Kohen may not, even if it's his wife, may not take her back, a Yisrael may take her back. So very geschmack. A Kohen should marry Ketana because we're concerned that she may become seduced and she'll become an Oinus and he can't take her back. So don't get involved in such a relationship. A Yisrael, what's the worst that we're concerned about? Not that it's insignificant, that she'll have this relationship, but that won't prohibit her to her husband. That's why we allow Yisrael to marry her. Rapapa has a different explanation. The kain gadol. We go back to say Rabbi Lezer is talking to a kain gadol. Vai tanahu, and this position of Rabbi Lezer reflects the opinion of this tana, the tanya. The pasuk says ki im besulov mi amav yikach isha besula yachal tana. I would think that a kain gadol is allowed to marry even a Tana, Tamalai mi Isha. She has to be an adult. Isha, if I follow the word Isha, Yochel Begeris, that he may marry even a Begeris. Tamalai mi Besula. Oh, so the Pasuk used the word Besula. Ha Ketzat. Yotza miklal Katnus. She's no longer a Tana. Ulkal Bagris Lebosa. What the Pasuk is telling us, says Rav Papa, is that Kohen Gadol may only marry a Na'ara. When the Torah says, Ki im besulam amov, yikach isha, the Torah is instructing him that he can only marry a Na'ara. That's why Rabbi Elazar says, a Kohen Gadol should not marry this Tana. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Hai Tanahu, it's this Tana, the Tanya, ein besula, when the Torah used the word besula, ein besula el Na'ara. Besula means a Na'ara. The Kain Omer, the Pasuk says regarding Rivka, the Na'ara Tovus Mar Ma'oid Besula. So we see that Besula is a Na'ara. As Tosfos, we all remember when we were in Yeshiva, the Rashi taught us that how old was Rivka when she got married to Yitzchak? 3 years old. Here the Pasuk is saying, the way the Gemara is interpreting the Pasuk, she was 12 years old. Says Tosfos, there are different Midrashim. And indeed, the famous marriage that we always were used to learn and accept was Rivka was 3 years old. And Tosfos makes a whole calculation. We have to say Rivka was 12 years old. Then Tosfos quotes another medrash that says that Rivka was actually 14 years old when she married Yitzchak. So that would also be difficult, because here the Gemara says she was a Na'ara. So the Mefarshim say she was 14 years old, but she didn't bring Simonim. A Begeris is only when she's above 12 and a half, plus bringing Simonim. She didn't bring Simonim, so that's why even though she's 14, she's considered a Na'ara. Rav Elazar Omer, says the Gemara, Rav Elazar taught us, Pani Abar Pnuya Shlo Yishem Ishas, if a single man and single woman have relations, not the Shem Ishas, Asa Zoyna. Omer of Amram, and Alach Rav Elazar. The Alach is not like Rav Elazar. Ask the Aruch Lener, why does the Gemara have to tell us that the Alach is not like Rav Elazar? Obviously, we have the Chachamim in this Braisa, and in the Mishnah, disagreeing with Rebbe Lazar, and we know, Yachav Rabim, Halacha Karabim. So I saw two answers. One answer is, since we, as we learned in the previous year, the Gemara wanted to suggest that Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov, who always Mishnosoi, Kavanoki, we always follow Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov's opinion, holds like Rebbe Lazar, so I would think that we should pass on like Rebbe Lazar. That's why the Gemara has to tell us explicitly, we don't follow Rebbe Lazar's opinion. But then I saw another pshat, important pshat. If we look in the Braisa, who's the last opinion cited in the Braisa? The last opinion cited in the Braisa is Rebbe Elazar's opinion. Normally, the halacha follows the last opinion cited. So we would think that even though Rebbe Elazar is the Yochid, Keneged the Chachamim, since he's the last opinion cited in the Braisa, we should follow that opinion. That's why the Gemara has to tell us explicitly, no, we don't follow his opinion. Says the Mishnah, Leivatul Adam Mepir Rivia. A person has to have children, Elam ken yesh lebonim, until he already was mekayim the mitzvah. How is one mekayim the mitzvah? B'shamar mishnei zecharim, you have to have two boys, that's how you mekayim pir v'rivya. B'shel oimram zachav in the keva. We have to have at least one male and one female child. Shenema zachav in the keva barom, as the Torah says by Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that Adam and Chava were created a male and a female. Says the Gemara, Hayesh Leibonim, what if somebody ready Baruch Hashem has children? Mipirya Merivya Batel, he doesn't anymore, and we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's year in Mitzvah Shem, have an obligation to be Mekayim Mitzvah's Pir Merivya. However, Meisha Leibotel, he still has to be married. Mesailer of Nachman Meshmul, Domar Api Sheish Leil Adam, Ka'am Ebonim, even if a person Baruch Hashem has many children, Osel Amid Blay Isha. He may not be without a wife. Shnemar leitoyif hayoyis adam levadoi. A person should not be by himself. And the Rishonim discuss how far do we take Rav Nachman HaMishmul's din. Some Rishonim say that Mukhi Yosef discusses this. There may even be a chiv deraisa. There's a chiv deraisa for everyone to be married. Others say it's a drabonim. The Rambam uses a very interesting status. He calls it a mitzvah chachomim. And the Mefarshei HaRambam explained that the Rambam has a number of categories. He sometimes says something is Medivrei Chachamim, Medivrei Drabonon, and Mitzvah Chachamim is like a step above a regular Drabonon, and the Rambam calls being married a Mitzvah Chachamim. Vikadamri, others learn the Mishnah differently. This is the way Tosfos explains. Hayesh Leibonim, if a person already Baruch Hashem has children, batal mipira rivia, or batal nami miisha. He doesn't have to have any more children, and he doesn't have to be married. And like Tosfos explains, since the Mishnah did not use the words lo yisa adam isha she'ena basbanim, the Mishnah didn't say don't marry a woman that can't have children. So the Mishnah is trying, he says, to teach us that having children and being married travel together. And therefore, if you have children, you don't have to be married either. So ask the Gemara, name it to Avot Yufta, Rav Nachman and Shmuel, that says under all circumstances one should be married. Loi says that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. The way to understand the Mishnah is the way the Gemara understood it initially. Anyway, Bonim, if a person has no children, Noisa Isha Bas Bonim, he's only allowed to marry a woman who's able to bear him children. Yesh leibonim. But if he already Baruch Hashem has children, then noisi ishad lav basbonim, he can even marry a woman who's unable to have children. What is the nafkamina? Nafkamina, limcha sefer tar b'shvil bonim. The halacha is, we'll learn in the Mitzvah Shem in the future shiurim, that person is supposed to sell a sefer Torah even, normally we're never allowed to sell a sefer Torah, but you're allowed to sell a sefer Torah in order to get married. Most Rishonim, what the Gemara here is saying is, when is there a halacha that you sell a sefer Torah in order to get married? That's when you're going to be marrying a woman who could bear you children. But if you can't, if this woman cannot bear you children, you're still obligated to get married, but you have no right to sell the sefer Torah. Others want to say that if it's only what the situation is like here, we have an option. We can have a woman that can still have children, and you can have a wife that can't have children. So if you don't have children, you're obligated to marry the woman that could have children and even sell a sefer Torah to be able to marry her. If you already have children, don't sell the sefer Torah, just marry the woman who can't have children, just be married.
Amen.